invite you this morning to take your Bible with me, please, and open to the book of Joshua and the first chapter, Joshua chapter 1, this morning. Last Sunday evening, we addressed the topic of change. And as we noted last week, any time that we talk about an issue such as change, that change will often cause within our hearts fear. It's true in the life of us as individuals. It's true in the life of a church. Sometimes the concepts of change bring to us the thought of fear. And these fears often keep us from doing the very will of God and finding the satisfaction that comes as we live in obedience to Him. Fear is a sin that will paralyze us and cause us to miss much of the blessing of God. But this morning, as we come to our time together, I want to address to you the opposite of fear, and that is the truth of courage. The truth of courage. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this of courage. He says, "Whatever you do, you need courage. Whatever course you decide upon, there is always someone to tell you that you are wrong. There are always difficulties arising that tempt you to believe your critics are right. To map out a course of action and follow it to an end requires some of the same courage that a soldier needs. Peace has its victories, but it takes brave men and women to win them." This morning I want to consider and discover together from an event in the life of Joshua's life a courage for us to conquer. A courage for us to conquer. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to invite you to follow along as I read verse 1 down through verse 9. And then we'll have a word of prayer. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of thy foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we're able to come to the Word of God and there to be challenged from this Word by the Spirit of God, who is our teacher and our guide. Lord, I pray today that as we sit under the sound of your word, that the Spirit of God would direct us, that he would teach us and show us those things which we need. Father, we all come today with various needs in our own hearts and our own lives. Lord, there are some things that we do not share one with another, but you know the need of our heart today. Father, I pray today that you would minister to us and meet our needs according to thy word. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for that. And Lord, we ask and pray today that if there is one here today who knows not Jesus Christ as their Savior, that, Lord, today even they would have the courage to do that which they need in order to come and trust Christ as Savior today. Father, how we know there's rejoicing in heaven for a soul who comes to repentance. So, Lord, we come now asking and praying your blessing upon our time and time, our gathering, our meeting, our study of thy word. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us this morning are very familiar with the life of Joshua. We have considered him. He's a character of the Old Testament that we are rather familiar with. Let me just remind you of a couple things about this man, Joshua, who we are now considering and will see this morning. As a young man, Joshua was chosen as one of the spies to go into the land of Canaan and there to seek it out and to see if it was a land worthy of the Israelites to go. You remember there were 12 spies who went in. Joshua was one of those 12 spies. As he went into the land, he found it to be a land flowing with milk and honey. Joshua and Caleb believed that it was a land fit and ready for the people of Israel to come and possess the land. But the problem was the other 10 spies saw something far more frightening than the land that was flowing with milk and honey. They saw giants in the land. They allowed fear to keep them back, and they came to the people of Israel and they gave an evil report that said it wasn't a land that they could possess. There were cities with high walls and there were giants in that land, and there was no way that they as a people could go in and possess the land, even though God had promised to give them the land. Even though Moses had brought them to the very brink of the promised land, they had wandered from the wilderness. They had seen the Lord provide by delivering them from the very nation of Egypt, the greatest empire of the world at that time. They had seen God's provision, His strength, and His power. But because of the giants in the land, they were afraid. They said, no, we can't go in and possess the land. Joshua and Caleb stood and said, it is a land worthy of our possession. Let's go in by faith and let's possess the land that God has given. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. And they stood, they exhorted the people of God that they would follow the Lord into the promised land. Yet the people of Israel refused. And to that generation, God condemned them. And God said that they would not enter into that land of promise. Instead, they would wander for 40 years in the wilderness, and there they would die. We know that in the time of the wilderness wanderings, Joshua, even as we find in verse 1, was the minister of Moses. He was the servant of Moses. He worked very closely with him. Joshua had seen the Lord work in many wonderful ways. He had been there as the Lord gave to the people of Israel the law. Moses there up on the mountain and Joshua there down just a little ways. But he saw those sights and he saw those things that God had done. As they wandered through the wilderness, there was a time in which God would call Moses out from the people and he would set up a tent without. And Joshua was there and he longed to be in the very presence of his God. He had seen the Lord do great and many wonderful things. Yet now we come to the beginning of the book of Joshua. And as we come to this book, we find this thought in verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. I have to be honest with you. I think that had to be a rather frightening thought for Joshua to hear. Moses, my servant, is dead. His mentor, his friend, his leader is now gone. He had walked very closely with him for many, many years. And now the responsibility of leading the nation of Israel and the responsibility of taking this group of people over the Jordan River and begin to possess the land would be laid squarely on the shoulders of Joshua. Imagine that responsibility. Imagine the heaviness of that load. I think you and I could all imagine that there had to be within his heart some semblance of fear. I don't think it's too hard to imagine that that exists, seeing that three times in this chapter, in the first 9 verses, God would say to him, be strong and be of a good courage. His responsibility was great. He is now the leader of the nation of Israel. He had been there with them through their good and their bad. He had seen their deliverance from Egypt, but he saw their fear in going into the land and watched them wander. No doubt in his mind he had to wonder, is this next generation going to follow me? The generation before refused to follow Moses. Will they follow me? And God is now going to come to him and give to him the courage and the instruction that he needs so that he could be brave and courageous as he now takes the leadership of the nation of Israel. There was a major change happening. And there was fear. No doubt not only for Joshua, but for the people of Israel. They revered Moses. And now there is Joshua who would stand in his place. It's now time to enter the promised land and lay claim on all that God had declared was theirs. It was time for them to claim the victory. Now, as you and I study through the scripture, I believe it's clear that God desires that we be godly and that you and I live a life that is known by victory. That life is not without its challenges, though, but the Bible does give to us some promises that will help us to fulfill that life of victory. I want to remind you of a few verses this morning. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, God tells us that he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Along with those things that he has given, there are exceeding great and precious promises. God has given us all that we need in his word that we would live a life characterized by victory. A life that is characterized by courage and not by fear. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, we are told, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his coming to this earth and his sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. Because he shed his blood and there he died and he was buried and he rose again the third day. As the scripture said he would. He conquered sin and he conquered death and he has given to you and I victory and we can live in that victory. Even when things around us seem to bring us fear, there is a courage for you and I to go out and to conquer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the nation of Israel, here sits a challenge and a call that they would enter into the promised land. By the way, that land hadn't changed a whole lot in those 40 years. There were still strong cities that were walled up. There were still giants in the land, but it was still a land that flowed with milk and honey. And it was still the land that God had promised to his people. Joshua now is called to take the people and go over into the promised land. You know, in light of the verses that the scripture gives to us, that God has given us all things to life and godliness, and that we have been given the victory, we ought to stand amazed that so many Christians then live in defeat and despair. How often we allow fear to keep us from fulfilling what God would have us to fulfill. Fear to keep us from saying that which God would have us to say. Fear of standing and doing that which is right, even though we might have to stand alone. God has promised that he would give us the victory. What is missing from our lives that causes us to miss out on all the spiritual blessings promised to us by God is simply found again in the concept that we lack the courage we need to conquer. A whole generation of Israelites missed out on the land flowing with milk and honey, instead wandered and died in the wilderness because they didn't have the courage to go over the Jordan River and possess the land. Joshua and the people of Israel now have the same choice to make. He prepares the people to go into the promised land. And by the way, that promised land is a picture of our spiritual rest that we can know as a believer. And God has called him to have the courage that he needs to conquer in order to have that rest that they so long for. They'd have to endure their spiritual battles. They would have to fight in order that they might win. In order to be godly and live in life of victory in this present world. Folks, we're going to have our battles that we're going to have to fight. Spiritually, we're going to have to fight those battles. We are in a battle constantly. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are battles to fight. We have to be willing to stand and fight for that which is right. Stand even alone. Why? Because God has given to you and I the courage to conquer. The courage to conquer in our own lives spiritually that we can go on to maturity in Christ. The courage to conquer as a family to stand and make sure that our children are brought up in the ways of the Lord and they're trained in the way that they will go. Courage to stand and do what's right as a church, as all around us, others are compromising and following after the things of this world. But there is a reason for us to stand and do what's right. We are on the Lord's side and we are doing His will and we are to do it in His way. And there needs to be a courage for you and I to conquer in these days. I want you to see a couple things with me this morning about this courage that we need. And I trust that it'll be a help and encouragement to all of us. Let's begin in verse 3, if we would. I want you to notice with me that the courage that we need to conquer and live a life of victory rests in the promises of God's Word. It rests in the promises of God's Word. Look at verse 3 down through verse 6, if you would. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. You see the promises of God as they are given to Joshua. God is going to come to him and say, Joshua, I want you to be strong. Joshua, I want you to be courageous. I realize that there is a fear within your heart. And rightly so, as you take on this responsibility. But Joshua, I want you to be strong. I want you to be courageous. And that which will help you is for you to rest in what I'm about to say to you. I am going to give to you my word, my promise. So as we begin this morning, I want you to see that if we're going to have the courage that we need to do what God calls us to do, that courage needs to learn to rest upon the promises that we find in the Word of God. I want you to notice from these verses the promises given to Joshua. Look at verse 3. In verse 3 it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to thee, as I said unto Moses. Down in the verse 4, he goes on to tell them that he would go from the Lebanon even to the Euphrates. In those verses, he simply says, Joshua, I want you to know, I have promised you, I am going with you. You're not going alone. I am promising that I will go with you. Every place that the sole of your tread upon, I have given unto you. I am going with you. I am going before you. You will have the victory as you follow me. He had promised to go before and to give him the victory. In verse 5, he says that he would be with him perpetually. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee.
Joshua, as you take on this role of leadership, as you begin to go out and take on these battles that are before you, I want you to know that I, your God, will be with you daily. I will not leave you. I will be by your side. You follow me and I will have you then lead these people. But Joshua, I am with you. Then look at verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. What's the promise there? I am going to give you the land. Victory is sure. Joshua, be courageous. Be brave. Be strong. Follow me. I promise to go before you. I will give you the victory every place that the sole of your foot treads upon. You're going to have victory. Joshua, don't you be afraid. I will be with you all the way. You will divide this place as an inheritance to the tribes of my people. By the way, when you come through and you read the book of Joshua, you find that there is that day that they divide the land as an inheritance. And every person is given their part. As we consider the promises that are given to Joshua, can we apply the promises that are given to us as believers? Again, in verse 3, it says that God would go before us, that He would give us the victory. Has God ever promised that to you and to me as a believer? One who's serving the Lord Jesus Christ in this day? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:57 again says that He is. With thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Folks, God has promised to you and I the very same victory that He promised in Joshua's day. In verse 5, we're told that God would be with him perpetually. Do we have that promise today? That God will never leave us nor forsake us? Well, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We've been given a great commission by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we're told, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world, or better, this age. God has promised to be with us as He has promised to be with Joshua. You and I can be strong and you and I can be courageous because God has promised that He would give us the victory and go with us every step of the way. In verse 6, He said that He would give to them the land to possess. I think of Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it pass. We have other passages that remind us of promises that help us have victory. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. By the way, what are the things? Well, having food and raiment, let us be content. He clothes the lily of the field, and He feeds the sparrows of the air. We ought to be content with such things. We ought to be seeking first the kingdom of God, and when we do, He promises that He'll supply for our every need. Paul would actually write to the people of Philippians, who there were giving their life and serving him and willing to give of their own necessity. And he said to them that my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Folks, God has given to us a great, exceeding, precious promises that we need to build our lives upon. And those promises give to us
the courage we need to conquer. Our courage to conquer rests in our willingness to take God at His word and trust Him wholly. I ask you this morning, do you take God at His word? Are you willing to take God at His word? Are you willing to accept what the Scripture says and apply it to your life today? Again, I marvel how often we are so quick to offer counsel to people when they're in need. But in our own time of need, we cannot think of a single passage that would comfort our own heart. Oh, we're good with Romans 8:28 when someone's having a hard day. God works all things together for good, brother. Pat him on the back. I'm with you. I'm praying for you. What happens when it's not a good day for you? I just don't know why God is allowing this to happen in my life. What happened to all things working together for your good? That doesn't apply to me, Pastor. You don't know what I'm going through. Yes, it does. Are you willing to take God at His word? When God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, do you believe that? Or when you feel like things are not going your way, I am all alone. We like Elijah. There is no one left standing for God but me. You ever feel that way? Never struggle with those things? Are you willing to take God at His word? If we're going to live a life of victory, then we need the courage. And that courage is going to come as we stand on the promises of God. By the way, that's not just a good song to sing. It's a truth we ought to live out. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Are you willing to face the times of change, knowing that as long as you have the Lord and His word, you have all that you need? Courage rests on the very promises of the word of God. But I want you to notice second with me in verse 7 and 8, that courage that we need reigns as we live in obedience to God's word. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God said to Joshua, Joshua, if you want to live that life of courage and you want that courage to remain, then obey my word. Obey my word. Sometimes, folks, we find ourselves in so much fear and so much confusion, and we begin to doubt and drift away from the things of God simply because we stop obeying the word of God. A life of obedience will allow courage to reign within your heart. You will have the courage you need when you take God at His word and you obey His word. There is a wonderful blessing that comes to the life of obedience. You don't have to live in fear when you're in obedience to the word of God. I want you to notice with me the parts to obedience. There's parts that we need to have when we consider the truth of obedience. First of all, God says to Joshua, be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. In order for you and I to live a life of obedience, we must first observe the truth of God's word. We are to observe to do all that is written. We are to observe the truth of the very word of God. If we're going to live in obedience to that word of God, then we have to take a time to read and to study and to search and to find what God's word says. We have to observe it. We must study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, one who is able to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to search the scriptures. We need to give ourselves to the diligent observation of the truth. We have to observe all that is written. You know, as a parent,
we want our children to obey. In order for my children to obey, there is one key concept in order for them to grasp first and foremost. You know what that is? Hear what I say. So when you're working with children, I will typically call mine in, especially the younger that they are, and I want them to look at me face to face, and I want them to hear what Daddy has to say. You need to do the following. Look right at me when I speak. Now, do you understand? Yes, sir. What are you supposed to do? I want them to be able to repeat it. Why? Because I want them, first of all, to know what they need to do. That's observation. If I just bark out the commands from my bedroom while they're downstairs in theirs, can I really expect them to follow what I just said? Not really, because if they don't hear it, they can't do it. Folks, how do you expect to obey what the Word of God has to say unless you first observe it? Until you come and you read it and you study it and you search it, till you give your attention to it when it's being proclaimed and taught. How can you live in obedience to something that you know nothing about? God said to Joshua these words, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all which Moses my servant commanded thee." You have been given the law. Now live it, observe it, and don't turn from it. When we tell our children to do something, you know what we expect? Believe it or not, I know it's hard to believe in this generation, we expect them to do it. Do you understand? Yes. Okay, go do it. If they go down to their room and begin to play, guess what happens? Trouble is going to reign in their life. Why? Because they disobey. When are they supposed to obey, by the way? Right away. Delayed obedience is disobedience. You're not to turn from it. If they do just a small part of it, but they leave part of it out, have they obeyed? No, they've turned aside. And God said to Joshua, listen, I want you to observe the words that have been given unto you. I want you to obey, and I don't want you to turn from my word. Why? Because that's where it will remain. The courage will remain in your heart and in your life. When we don't turn from the word of God. When we obey, there is prosperity. And God promised that in verse 7 and 8. Don't turn that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8 says, when the book of the law does not depart out of our mouth, when we meditate therein day and night, and we observe to do all that is written therein, then thou shalt have good success. You will prosper. There is blessing to those who will obey. And courage to do right remains within the heart. When you don't obey, there is no courage within your heart. I'll be honest with you. As a child, when I refused to obey mom and dad, the two people that I did not want to see the rest of that day were mom and dad. I had no confidence to stand before them. My appetite would begin to leave because they got to know. They're going to find out. Oh, I hope the teacher didn't call today. It's a tough way to live. There's no courage there. There's no freedom in a life of disobedience. Is there? Of course not. If the boss comes to you and says on Monday, I want this done by Friday, and you blew it off all week, and Friday comes, and he walks in the room and says, hey, do you have that assignment that I gave you? How are you going to feel on that day? I think Friday is going to be a sick day. Hello? I'm not coming in today. I'm not feeling very well. I have a sick stomach. Of course you do. You disobey. You don't have a whole lot of confidence standing before them. You're afraid. Why? Because you didn't live in obedience. There's nothing to fear when the boss walks in and you simply go to him. Here it is. That's fun. I enjoy doing that. It's on time. That's wonderful. There's no fear. But when you have to come up with an excuse as to why you couldn't get it done, and, you know, well, my kids were bad, and, you know, we had sickness in the home, and wait, what else can I add to this one to make sure that I don't get in trouble and I keep my job? Folks, it becomes a problem. But courage reigns in a life of obedience. Folks, when you and I live in obedience to the Word of God, there's a courage to come boldly into the throne of grace to obtain mercy and help in time of need. I'm not afraid to enter into His presence. I'm not afraid to call out to help when I need the help. I'm not afraid to come and enjoy a time of fellowship with Him. In fact, I want to have that with Him. See the difference? God said to Joshua, "Hey Joshua, we're getting ready to take the people of Israel over to the promised land. And if you want the courage for the battles that are ahead, live in obedience to my word. And there will be the courage for you." Finally, look at verse 9. "Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Courage rejoices in the presence of God. Courage rejoices in the presence of God. As we come to verse 9, we find the reiteration of the command. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." I find that to be so comforting. That God will reiterate to me the words that I need to hear. How precious it is that God doesn't weary in instructing His children, but gently reminds us and encourages us in the ways of righteousness. Even when I stumble and even when I fall and I walk in my own way, the Bible says, if I will confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He restores the fellowship, and He comes back and says, "Let me remind you again how you ought to walk." 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction." I'll be honest with you. That word is my favorite in that verse. Correction. You say, "I don't like to be corrected." I do. See, the word reproof means conviction. That's when He comes to me and tells me I'm wrong. You've sinned. But the word correction literally means to set aright. It's the image of putting someone back on their feet. And you hear what follows it? It's good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in the ways of righteousness. Is our God not good? He teaches. He instructs us in the way we ought to go. Even when we stumble and even when we fall. And He comes to Joshua and says, "Have not I commanded you?" Maybe in my mind, the way I see that is, God knows the heart of Joshua. "Be strong and be of good courage. Be strong and be of good courage. Joshua, listen. I want you to be strong. I want you to be courageous. I've given you the command." He reminds him again. But then He gives the greatest reminder of all. "The Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." What a precious and beautiful reminder. There's no need to fear. There's no reason to be dismayed. Our God draws near. If we desire to live in victory, then we know that there is nothing that can overtake us by fear and anxiety. We have the promise of Jehovah Elohim,
the personal God and creator of all man, that he is with us. The Lord thy God, Jehovah God. He who made heaven and earth, he who is the omnipotent one, goes before us. He who is the omniscient one will lead us. And he who is the omnipresent one goes with us everywhere we go. What precious truth. What rejoicing. Folks, there's courage in that thought. That thought was enough for David as a young man to stand and fight Goliath. Goliath brought his sword and his spear and his armor and his armor bearer. And David came in the name of the Lord with a sling and 5 smooth stones. I'm not sure what the other 4 were for, because I don't think David planned to miss on the first. But enough for him to go to battle was, my God will be with me. That was enough for the great apostles to stand before the Sanhedrin. And although beaten and threatened, refused to do anything other but to preach Jesus Christ. And after they would leave the hall of the Sanhedrin, they would go and enter again into the very synagogue, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to have suffered for his name. And they began to preach and teach yet again, because their God was with them. That was enough for Daniel in the lion's den. It was enough for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in face of the fiery furnace, that the Lord's presence was there. Is that enough for you? That God has promised to be with you? Is that enough for you to go to someone when the Lord prods you and share your faith? And say, can I tell you what Jesus Christ has done for me? Or are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God into salvation. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why? Because God was with him everywhere he went. Is that enough for you? Is that enough for you as a family to be able to say, you know what? No other family may stand on the positions that we stand. But we're convinced by the word of God what is true, and that's where we're standing. Is that enough for you as a member of this church? That if the leadership of this church comes and says, folks, this is what the Bible says, this is what it teaches, and this is where we're going to stand, is that enough? But everyone else is doing other things. So what? Is it enough that we build the church on the Word of God? And the fact that He promises to go with us everywhere that we go. I think it is. All of the words that Ron Hamilton wrote in a song, how can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. I'll never fear with Jesus. What's there to be afraid? What keeps us from doing what's right? God has given to us the courage to conquer. Why? He's given to us exceeding great and precious promises in His Word. He's given us commands to obey, and He has promised to be with us every step of the way. You know, there's no need for you and I to live in defeat. We ought to be living in the midst of the blessings of our Heavenly Father. We ought to be knowing the victory and the blessing of rest of the promised land, because our God has promised to be with us. What you and I need is courage in these days, that we might live victoriously and as the people of Israel conquer the land and divide it for an inheritance. I don't know what might be keeping you today from going on and conquering as the Lord would have you to do. It might be simply fear. It might be simply the thought of pride. And pride often is the other sin that will keep us from our God and keep us from doing what He has for us to do. But folks, we have a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior who gives to us the Word of God and His promise of His presence, that we might be able to go forth and live in victory, individually, as a family, and as a church. Things will change all around us, and things will always try to cause us to fear. But I'm always reminded of 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Fear is of the devil. Power is of the Lord. Love and a sound mind are of Him. Let's have the courage to conquer in these days and not simply allow fear to keep us from doing what God wants us to do in the days that lie before us. Let's pray together, please.